Well, we know that a state budget passed through both the House and the Senate. It's expected to be signed by the governor. What's in it? Is it sustainable for Connecticut? Joining us now is State Senator Ryan Fazio out of the Stamford area. And Senator Fazio, I know you've got one day left of the legislative session. A lot could happen up in Hartford, but it sounds like the budget is kind of behind you guys at this point. What's in this budget?
What isn't in this budget?
Yeah, it's like 700 pages. That's a loaded question, right, for only a 15-minute interview? But yeah, exactly. What isn't in the budget?
A loaded question and a loaded budget. The budget was released publicly at 3:30 a.m. on Monday, and it was debated on the House floor starting at 11 a.m. on Monday, to give you an idea of how the people who run Hartford operate. The budget included billions of dollars of spending increases, about 5% year-over-year spending increase. It included policies that will increase our debt by hundreds of millions or billions, and it increased taxes by hundreds of millions. Worst of all, if that doesn't sound bad enough, it broke the budget guardrails, which have helped limit tax increases over the last 7 or 8 years in Connecticut. Those were, if you your listeners remember, when the Senate was tied 18-18 between Democrats and Republicans, there were Republican budget policies that were passed in the ultimate budget that year. And those required that we limit spending to no more than wage and inflation growth every year, that we use extra money every year to pay down our debt burden in Connecticut, which is really high, and a couple of other good fiscally responsible budget controls. Those are being broken in this budget, which is perhaps the most disappointing aspect of it all. I've been up there 4 or 5 years. This budget is one of the most disappointing pieces of legislation I've seen. I was expecting better at the beginning of the year. I'm extremely disappointed and frustrated at this budget.
It was the worst budget I've seen in my 4 or 5 years in Hartford. It broke all the spending controls, debt controls that have been in place for the last 8 years. And it raised taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars. So I'm extraordinarily disappointed. The Democratic leadership of our state had touted those budget controls that existed the past 8 years. They renewed them 2 years ago, and now they're breaking them recklessly. And it's not only going to result in hundreds of millions of dollars of higher taxes on hospitals and small businesses this year. It's also going to mean billions of dollars of higher taxes on the middle class in the future. This is extremely disappointing.
So, Senator Fazio, a couple of questions there. First of all, I thought we voted not to touch the fiscal guardrails. And if that was the case, then why was this able to happen?
2 years ago, we as a state voted to extend the fiscal guardrails by 5 years. It was, I believe, unanimous in both houses. The quotes from the Senate president, from the governor, from the comptroller, from the Speaker of the House were all extolling the virtues of the fiscal guardrails. I read some of those quotes on the Senate floor yesterday. They decided to totally do a 180 2 years later in this budget. I think the finance chairman in the House on the House floor said elections have consequences. That's their attitude. They have a 2-to-1 majority in both houses and a Democratic governor, and they want to spend more money, borrow more money, and tax more. And they felt like they had a mandate to do that with a 2-to-1 majority, even though they promised voters that they would actually extend and protect the budget guardrails. So I view this as a broken promise, but it's enabled by the fact that we have 2-to-1 majorities in the state government. I like balance. I think when people work together and they're bipartisan, we get better policy. That sounds cliche. I always kind of thought that was true before I got into state government. Now that I'm up close and personal, I see that that's really, really true. It's not just cliche. So that's why. I mean, that's what happened.
Senator Fazio, another thing that I wanted to discuss is the governor keeps saying we didn't raise taxes. But I've just heard you say multiple times just in this interview that we're going to see taxes go up. Those are two contradicting statements. How could we have not raised taxes, but it sounds like this bill is bringing more taxes?
The budget raises taxes by about $300 million in the second fiscal year per year into the future.
So we don't have taxes going up in the immediate future, but by the second year, they're going to go up.
Well, in the first year, they go up by $100 or $200 million, too. Maybe the governor doesn't know what's in his budget. But it raises the hospital tax by $200 to $300 million net. I'm using the conservative figure there. It raises taxes on small businesses by $50 or $100 million, the business tax surcharge tax. It raises the unitary tax, another business tax. It raises taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, we'll pay that at the hospital. It raises taxes on nursing homes. It finds indirect ways to raise taxes that maybe you don't see on your sales tax receipts, on the receipts on your sales tax directly, but it'll indirectly do that. And there's no two ways about it. It raises taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, anyone who says otherwise didn't read the budget.
I mean, we literally have, this is Governor Lamont yesterday talking to our partners over at News 8. This is what he directly said to them.
We're not going to raise taxes. We're going to be able to honor the commitments to the most vulnerable. And a budget's a reflection of our values.
It's a reflection of our values, Senator Fazio.
I think their values then are that they think that middle class people and businesses and hospitals and small businesses in Connecticut aren't taxed enough in the third highest tax state in the nation, and that it's never enough. Government's never big enough. And I think that hurts regular people where in a state where it's too expensive to live already. It's very frustrating. You know, they're selling a bill of goods. This is a terrible budget. I mean, this is a terrible budget. I just insist that we could do far better in this state. We could have probably delivered minor tax cuts this year if we were fiscally responsible. We could have continued to pay down debt. We could have limited spending increases while also investing in the vital services and programs that we have in the state. This is one mistake after another, but it certainly does raise taxes beyond our tax burden now, which is the third highest of any in the country. It's very disappointing.
We've got Senator Ryan Fazio here on the final day of the legislative session up in Hartford. I'm curious because education spending was supposed to be one of the biggest priorities. And I've been a huge proponent in it's not all on the state, quite frankly. I think we're seeing it at the local level. You represent Stamford. I mean, my God, they saw a huge education cut. I was just talking to one of the teachers actually about this yesterday, 31% cut in special education for Stamford. And there's a question of like, you know, are we spending too much from the top down? You know, what are the administrative offices making? Do we really need to do this? But I'm curious, what did the budget cover when it came to education spending?
I think the budget increased education spending slightly. There's an argument that it didn't fully fund school districts, but it increased education funding slightly. What drives me crazy is how many unfunded mandates we impose on our municipalities and our school districts in particular, and we fund them sort of, but we impose all these mandates that drive up costs. And I talked to some principals, some great principals, and they say that they spend so much of their time, you know, complying with Hartford mandates and filling out paperwork when the best time that they can spend is in the classroom with their teachers and their students. And so I continue to think that Hartford's driving up costs indirectly. There's 1,400 unfunded mandates the state imposes on our towns and cities. Those drive up property taxes. They hurt our school budget. Hartford does deserve some of the blame over the long term.
When we look at the money that's being cut, so when we talk about special education, for example, a lot of that money goes to paying for kids who are going out of the district to get the services essentially they need and the programs and all of that. And I always say to myself, why don't we instead put the money back into the district so that we don't have to pay the astronomical amounts for these kids to go to private schools or private programs? I don't know why that, like Stamford's a perfect example of that, where there's insane amounts of millions of dollars get wasted sending kids out of the district to go get services instead of us just bolstering the people and the resources and the programming and the curriculum in Stamford. And I don't know if that falls on the state at all.
Yeah, it does. And I think there's legislation that was passed, 5001, and Representative Tina Corpus is the new Republican state rep for Greenwich and Stamford. She was one of the co-authors of that bill. I think it's taking a first step at looking at, having reasonable policies and trying to encourage the insourcing of special education. You're right. We're outsourcing special education probably in an irresponsible way. And the school districts can do more, and they could do more in probably a reasonable, cost-effective way, instead of spending hundreds of millions of dollars per pupil outside the district when those kids should be part of, you know, the school communities that we have, and can do great in the school communities we have if we have the right programming. So this is something I've talked with local officials about and state officials about, and I think 5001 doesn't solve problems, all the problems, but it takes it makes some progress on that topic exactly.
Okay, so talking about taking a step in the right direction, we've got Senator Fazio here. You had co-authored a bill really years ago trying to lower our electric rates. Probably the biggest, the biggest thing to do is to get rid of the public benefits. We knew that wasn't going to happen, but there was a bipartisan compromise. Can you give people an idea, though, Senator Fazio, what, if any, relief could we see in the near future when it comes to our electric bills?
Yes, and my Republican colleagues have obviously been shouting from the rooftops for the last 2.5 years that we need to cut electric rates, that we need to cut public benefits fees in particular. 2 years ago, we passed a bill that requires there to be a line item on our electric bill telling us what our public benefits fees are. So instead of just forcing us to pay, we actually get to see what we pay. Well, I think that transparency has actually affected change now this year, where we're passing a bill, Senate Bill 4, that I co-authored with Senator Needleman, Representative Marr, Representative Steinberg, that will deliver the first cut of any significance to public benefits costs in the state. It'll cut public benefits charges by about $100 million per year. It'll make other savings to utilities costs of about $80 to $90 million a year. And it'll do some borrowing for one-time costs on our bills. Related to the COVID pandemic and bad debts, bad arrearages. So I would say it could save about 10% of our public benefits costs and maybe $130, $150 per year for the average resident. That's not nearly as much as we were calling for as, me with my Republican colleagues. We want to eliminate the public benefits charge. But this is a step in the right direction. It was tough to get here. We were advocating for deeper savings. But I'm proud of this legislation. We worked hard on it. We did it in bipartisan fashion. And we're going to continue to fight for further savings to eliminate the public benefits charge in the future and make our utility bills in our state truly affordable, because there's a lot more to do.
Senator Fazio, good luck in the final day during the legislative session. Thank you so much. We'll have you back on the show, I'm sure, very, very soon.
Great talking to you, Melissa.